morning, everyone. So as we all know, sperm are very highly specialized cells which contain the paternal genome, and also have the ability to fertilize oocytes. One very striking difference between sperm and somatic cells is the chromatin structure. At the level of the DNA double helices, there are no structural differences. However, when we get to more higher order DNA compaction, we see that in somatic cells, the DNA is able to wind around the histone octamers to form nucleosomes, which can also then be coiled to form a solenoid structure. In the sperm, however, any histones bound to the DNA is actually displaced and replaced by transition proteins, which are also eventually replaced by protamines, which are small basic proteins that bind to the DNA. This protamine DNA complex can be compacted into a coiled donut loop structure such that the DNA compaction is 6 times greater than in somatic cells. It has also been shown that in addition to protamines, there are also other proteins that can be found, and these proteins can be transcription factors, for example, that may play a role in normal sperm function. If we look at the rat and human sperm, one of the most striking differences that we see is actually in the sperm head structure. For the rat, it's a very much hook-shaped structure, and in the human, it's an oval-shaped. Another difference that we know of is the content of histones and protamines. In rats, there's only one type of protamine, protamine 1, and it causes such a compaction that only 1-2% of the DNA can be bound by histones. For humans, there are two types of protamines. We have protamine 1 and protamine 2, and this compaction is slightly more open such that 15% of the DNA can be bound by histones. I've previously showed you in the other slide that we do have other proteins maybe found in the chromatin, but what these proteins are and if they differ in different species, we still don't know. And so we hypothesize that proteins identified in the rat and human sperm head will be conserved between the two species. And so to test this hypothesis, we have two objectives. The first one would be to identify the proteins found within the rat and human sperm head, and the second one would be to compare the protein list that we get and to see which ones would be conserved between both species. So in order to isolate sperm head proteins, we definitely need sperm, and so we've collected the epididymides of brown norway rats. We isolated the caudate sperm and sonicated it in order to separate the heads from the tails. This is then filtered through the 20 micrometer nylon mesh in order to have a very pure sperm head only fraction. It's centrifuged to pellet the heads, and then it's incubated in a mixture containing guanidine thiocyanate, DTT urea, and thiourea, which would act to lyse the cells and also to release the proteins, where we expect to have an enrichment in the nuclear protein fraction. These samples are then submitted to the proteomics platform at Genome Quebec. And the same type of procedure is followed with the human ejaculate. It's sonicated to separate the heads and the tails, washed to pellet sperm heads, and any contaminating cells found are lysed by an active motif commercial lysis kit. The sperm heads are then pelleted and put in the same type of mixture to isolate the head proteins. At Genome Quebec, what they do basically is load our sample onto a 1D SDS page 7-15% gradient gel. It's stained with Kumasi blue, and the gel is cut into 15 bands. Each band is trypsin-digested in order to get a peptide mixture, and this mixture is separated by liquid chromatography. By MS-MS fragmentation, we are able to identify the sequence of each peptide, and this ultimately leads to identification of specific proteins. So with all these steps done, what we found was that 116 total rat proteins were identified and 414 total human proteins were identified, and 61 of them are shared. These 61 represent 53% of all of the rat proteins and only 15% of all the human proteins. If we look at the shared proteins now in terms of abundance, what we see is that the most abundant human proteins actually correspond to the greatest number of shared proteins in the rat. As you decrease in abundance, we have a decrease in number of shared proteins. We did the same type of analysis with the rat proteins, and we didn't find the same trend. As you decrease in protein abundance, we have equal number of shared proteins. However, there are the greatest number of shared proteins in the most, in the 20 most abundant rat proteins. What we want to look at now is to determine, are there any proteins that are very abundant in the human and also very abundant in the rat? And we found 7 of them. We would think that these seven proteins are probably super essential for sperm function, irregardless of the species. And so what are these seven proteins? We found ACAP4 and ACAP3, which are proteins localized to the fibrous sheath of the principal piece of the flagellum, and they have been shown to be very important for sperm motility. We also know that ACAP3 can associate with ACAP4, and interesting, the Reporin-1, also localized to the fibrous sheath, can bind to ACAP3. So these three proteins somewhat form a complex. Then we have outer dense fiber protein 2, which is a major component of the outer dense fibrils. And the three other proteins that we found all happen to be enzymes of the glycolytic pathway. So we have fructose bisphosphate aldolase A, we have triose phosphatase, and alpha enolase. So interestingly, sperm actually have the glycolytic pathway found in the fibrous sheath, as well as the fibrous sheath's major role in sperm motility. However, you might be wondering, what are all these tail proteins doing in the sperm head? Well, we know that the fibrous sheath assembles in a distal to proximal fashion along the axoneme, which is the center region here. So this end piece over here actually is the first piece to be assembled at the base of the sperm head, and then components are added on in order to lengthen this tail region. And so there's a component in the sperm head that would actually be part of the tail and serve as an anchor for both the tail and the head. So it would make sense that we'd find some of the proteins there. The next question we had was, what proteins of all these proteins we found are nuclear proteins according to gene ontology terms? And we identified 14 rat proteins and 91 human proteins. 8 of these proteins are shared, which are listed here. So again, we have the glycolytic pathway enzymes. We have ubiquitin, which is a very conserved regulatory protein. We have histones, important in the chromosome assembly. We have PPIA, which has been shown to be very important in germ cell differentiation. And we also have PARC7, which has been shown to act as a sensor of oxidative stress, as well as important transcriptional activator of androgen receptor-dependent transcripts. And we are unsure of the function of VCP, actually, in the sperm nucleus. So then we want to look at the 6 unique proteins found in the rat. And we found, again, some histones that are specific. We have prohibitin, which has been shown to be important for DNA replication, as well as ovarian follicle development. So given that we're in the sperm, maybe it has an important role in spermatogenesis. We found lamin A, which is a nuclear membrane organizational protein, as well as it has an essential role in spermatogenesis. And we found, again, the glycolytic pathway enzymes. So in the human, there are 83 unique proteins, and I'm definitely not going to go through all of them, so I only chose 8. And the first one here is c-MYC binding protein, which has been shown to be very important as an activator of transcription and a role in spermatogenesis. We have the pyroredoxins, which are important for oxidative stress, and SOD1, another stress-related role, as well as a role in spermatogenesis. We have stratifin, which is a DNA damage response and induction, leading to the induction of apoptosis. We have Spanx family proteins, which are important for spermatid development. And also the high mobility group BOX2, which is important for chromosome organization, DNA replication, and DNA repair. One very interesting histone that we found is a testis-specific one, which is important for sperm chromatin condensation and spermatid development. In addition to these 83, there's also 7 more histone proteins that were identified. The last thing we want to look at are, what are the proteins involved in reproduction out of all these proteins, based on, again, the gene ontology terms. And we had identified 12 rat proteins and 24 human proteins. These 12 proteins correspond to 10.3% of all of the sperm head proteins that we identified. And for the human, the 24 only represents 5.8. The 9 proteins that are shared, interestingly enough, actually are 75% of all the proteins involved in reproduction in the rats, which is very interesting that there's this great overrepresentation of the reproductive proteins belonging to the rat. And so in conclusion, the most abundant and shared proteins between the human and the rat are proteins related to the fibrous sheath and glycolytic pathways. We have more nuclear proteins with functions related to DNA repair, oxidative stress, and spermatogenesis in the human compared to the rat. And we also have a higher percentage of proteins involved in reproduction and shared between the species found in the rat specifically. So with that, I'd like to thank my supervisor, Dr. Bear, Dr. Hales, and Dr. Peter Chan for their support, as well as Eddie for all his help in the human aspect, and Sylvie Laboissière and Nathalie Hamel at the Genome Quebec Proteomics Center. Well, the thing is, looking at other papers, we've seen that a lot of the times in total sperm, there are more proteins found in human compared to rat. Now, whether this is because this is the way it is or because we are not able to maybe fully decondense everything in the rat sperm since it's so tight, we are not sure. So far the trend is that there are more proteins in human compared to rat. But it's interesting to know if we look at the comparison, like using a rat model like you suggested, it could be interesting looking at the ones that are conserved specifically as to knowing the function of other species.
Amy Ryan, Department of Pediatrics. I have a question just because we've embarked on some proteomics ourselves. How many replicates did you do, mm-hmm. and how consistent were your replicates?
Okay. Well, what we did for the human, basically this is, we had two human sperm samples, and they were run separately. For the rat, because it's difficult to get the nuclear proteins, what we did is we had four animals, and we had pooled those samples to have one run. So definitely replicates we've done in a pilot type of study, and we've seen that with each replicate, they're quite similar. However, within each, we have maybe additional proteins that are not identified in each one.
Okay. And what do you plan to do with this next?
Well, definitely it's interesting to see the ones that are conserved between the human and the rat, because from that I think we can get a definite idea as to which ones are specifically important for maybe sperm function in general. And so it would be interesting to look more in detail at those ones and see how they play a role, and as well as the ones that are unique, like the glycolytic pathway enzymes. Why would they be so heavily present in the nucleus? What can their role be? Is there something different that we don't know about?
Okay, last question. Do you think those differences are really real, or do you think you're seeing those proteins come out differently because of the different structures of the heads, and so maybe the difficulty in isolating the proteins?
So, yeah, it could be that, or it could also be the fact that in the actual procedure, we don't pick up the proteins despite the fact that they're there. So it could be we never actually, dissolve them, or we never actually identified them.
Carlos Morales, Anatomy and Cell Biology, McGill. Some of your proteins, actually many of your proteins are tail proteins, and some even are distal tail proteins. Do you consider the possibility of contamination?
Definitely we've looked at the the pellets that we have using electron microscopy, and we do see some tail contaminants. However, most of the time the tails do have everything within them that is still maintained. And so some of them are empty, some of them still have everything in there, so it could be contamination, but we have a very high purity in just the heads.